Chapter 8. Kelsey loaded the last dish into the industrial washer and slammed the casing down with a sigh. She'd been on her feet since the crack of dawn, and her body ached from the constant movement. An adjacent machine bleeped, signaling the end of its program. She cracked it open and stepped back from the plume of steam that billowed upwards. There was no time to let the dishes cool, not if she wanted a half-decent sleep cycle. Donning a pair of oven gloves, she stacked the steaming crockery onto trolleys, ready for the breakfast shift. She glanced at the clock overhead and cursed. It was 5 to midnight, and she was running behind. She hurried over to the one dirty dish on the side counter, a pasta bowl containing scraps from the residents' dinners. Snatching a spoon from the cutlery rack, she ate as she walked, hastening through the back corridors of the nursing estate to the laundry rooms. She only managed half the plate before having to stow the rest by her bedside and turn her attention to mountains of dirty linen all around. Kelsey leaned over the rim of a huge drum, balancing precariously across her midriff as she stretched for the chain dangling in the middle. The laundry machines were like giant mixing bowls. They were designed for automaton operation and had tailored to their size and strength. But the manager had insisted the ministry didn't see the nursing home as a priority, and had allocated several of their laboring automatons elsewhere. Thus, it had fallen to Kelsey to load and unload the huge swirling buckets. On the first night, she'd worried she wouldn't be able to sleep with the sound of the clattering launderettes all around her, but she'd been so exhausted she was out like a switch being flicked. Instead, just 3 nights in, she'd grown to welcome the humming tanks and rattling tumble dryers. The only time she heard them was when it was bedtime, the most precious part of her interminably long days. Exhausted, she polished off the rest of her dinner scraps, then lay her head down on the mattress, letting sleep wash over her. Exactly 2.5 hours later, the beep, beep, beep of a completed machine woke her again. Bleary-eyed, Kelsey dragged herself over to the machine, hauling on the chains and dragging the damp, spun-dry load out of the washer, along a pulley and into the neighboring dryer. Several more machines beeped in succession, and Kelsey did the rounds. 30 minutes later, every machine was churning a fresh load, and Kelsey was once more horizontal. This all happened again at 5 a.m., after which she would get only a further 30 minutes' sleep before it was time to assist in the kitchens. By 10 a.m., the breakfast rush was over. She'd devoured a fresh batch of scraps and had several liters of black coffee flowing through her system. Kelsey checked her schedule and hurried upstairs to the residential quarters. It was time to change the guests' bedding. She was warm, fed, and safe. Sleep-deprived, sure, but you can't have it all. This wasn't exactly her dream scenario, but it was only temporary, and it beat being on the streets too scared to sleep. Besides, it was no worse than the foster home she'd endured growing up. Plus, if she got more efficient at the routine, she reckoned she could probably get up to 6.5 hours sleep each night. Kelsey stripped a set of damp bedsheets from a mattress so stained it looked like marble. As she prepared to lay the fresh sheets on, a cry sounded from the corridor.
"Please, Mom, I'm begging you."
Kelsey approached the hallway. The voice was coming from the room opposite. 2 voices, in fact. The first woman, who was becoming increasingly desperate, and an older voice, which moaned incoherently. Both were growing louder and more agitated.
"It's me, Mom. Me! Why can't you?"
The woman broke down. Her guttural sobs formed a haunting duet with the older woman's wailing. As the door swung open, Kelsey locked eyes with the emerging woman. She was dressed for an office job, presumably heading to work. Her eyes were red from crying, her face soaked with tears.
"4 years! 4 years since she used my name, or even recognized me at all!" cried the woman.
Kelsey didn't know what to say, but soon found the woman's face buried in her shoulder, heaving with tears.
"I'm sorry, it's not fair. None of this is fair,"
sniffed the woman, breaking off abruptly. Stifling her sobs, she disappeared into the stairwell, leaving Kelsey alone in the hallway. The elderly woman's moans rang out into the corridor, laced with confusion and fear. Through the doorway, Kelsey could only see the outline of the woman's feet beneath the bedsheets, but the anguish in her voice told of the human inside. Kelsey was about to approach, to try and offer some comfort, when a metallic clicking startled her from the side. The blue-stained automaton glided towards her, It stopped in front of the door and locked eyes with Kelsey. Its body rotated to face the distressed woman's room, and without breaking its stare, drifted backwards into the room. The door closed quietly, muffling the woman's voice. Her moaning settled down in waves, like a puppy being soothed back to sleep. Kelsey returned to her work, fitting fresh linen, aware that she had to get through three corridors before the morning was up. As she finished the pillowcases, an alarm rang out. Kelsey clapped her hands over her ears, trying to mute the piercing sound. It was as loud as a fire alarm, but the pulsations were different. She peered into the corridor. A red bulb was glowing above the sealed door opposite. The manager burst out of the stairwell and rushed into the old woman's room with two workers in tow.
Call a code! Get the crash cart in here right away!
Oh God, not today, not today, please, God!
The manager begged. The workers sped about frantically, one calling for an ambulance while the other smashed open a wall cubby and grabbed the crash kit.
She doesn't have a letter! Somebody tell me how the hell this is happening when she doesn't have a letter! Screamed the manager.
I don't know, boss, I don't...
Clear!
Cried another.
Again!
Electrical shocks rang out from the room and the old lady's feet twitched beneath the sheets.
Again!
Yelled the manager.
Clear!
Cried the orderly.
Again!
As the team tried in vain to resuscitate the woman, the manager hurried to the door. Locking eyes with Kelsey, she slammed it shut. 14 hours later, Kelsey dragged herself out of the kitchen, chowing down a half-eaten bowl of scraps and heading towards her nightly laundry duties. As she wended her way through the corridor, something peculiar caught her eye. The light in the manager's office was on. She'd been trying to corner the woman all day to discuss her remuneration, but hadn't seen her since the incident. As she reached for the door, it swung open.
Steady, said a woman, several years her senior.
The stranger wore a dark blue trench coat and sported a tightly bound red ponytail. Whereas Kelsey looked utterly haggard from a long day of toiling, this woman looked positively sprightly for midnight. The woman glanced at Kelsey's dinner medley and raised an eyebrow.
Looks tasty, she quipped before disappearing down the hall.
Knocking, Kelsey entered her boss's office. For the first time, the manager looked as tired as she did.
Bailey, what is it?
Hey, boss. I was thinking maybe we could discuss my pay. I could use an advance so I could put a deposit down. You know, rent a place, stop living in the laundry room, that sort of thing.
The manager's head snapped up and she glared at Kelsey.
Do you seriously think you're in any position to be making demands?
No, not at all. I was just...
One snap of my fingers, girl, and you're out on the streets again. So how about some gratitude?
Kelsey bit her lip.
Sorry, boss.
Tough day, huh?
What's that supposed to mean? I mean with the old lady dying upstairs.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What? The woman from this morning. She had a heart attack or something. You were trying to revive her. I'm guessing it didn't work because when I went back in later, her bed was empty.
That sucks. I'm sorry for your...
Once again, Bailey, I have no idea what you are referring. Whatever you think you saw, you must have been mistaken. Am I clear?
I...
Yes, boss.
Good. Take a seat. Kelsey sat, awkwardly, with the bowl of scraps balanced across her green scrubs. The manager swiveled round and retrieved something from the shelf behind, returning moments later with a decanter and two glasses.
You drink?
It's not really my...
Nonsense, Bailey. Everyone drinks.
Here,
insisted the manager, pouring two generous measures.
Welcome to the madhouse.
She chuckled and downed the drink, slamming the glass on the desk with a woo-wee. Reclining in her chair with a sigh, she immediately poured herself a second glass while topping up Kelsey's untouched portion.
You wanted to discuss pay, Bailey. Let's discuss. You work, what, 14 hours a day?
It's more like 17 at the moment.
The manager cut her off short, leaning forwards and punching numbers into a calculator.
So, at standard basic rate, that's... Then multiplied by 3 days gives us... Okay. Minus the expenses for uniform, of course. Not to mention the vase you broke in the lobby. Oh, and the wasted fluid in the warehouse. Then there's the room and board to deduct. Which leaves us with...
As the manager finished tapping... Her face fell with exaggerated disappointment. She slid the device around to show Kelsey the outcome.
But that's a negative number, gasped Kelsey.
I'm afraid so. Believe me, I'd love to give you an advance, said the manager, necking more of the liquor. But you need a positive balance first, and by my calculations, you're several weeks away from that.
But I'm working every hour of the day, protested Kelsey. There's no way I can physically...
Hush, hush now. I'm sure we can come to some sort of arrangement, pretty little thing like you. You've got all kinds of options.
As the woman ran her finger around the rim of her glass, Kelsey's stomach churned.
You're not seriously suggesting what I think you're suggesting. That depends on how badly you want to get off the streets and into a lovely new apartment, shrugged the manager. I can make it happen for you. Think of it as a win-win.
Kelsey's face dropped.
I'm not... That's not what I...
Oh, come on. Don't be such a prude. Are you seriously telling me it's not something you've done before? Girl like you?
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Many people would take that as a compliment, you know. Look, it doesn't have to be all at once. I'm a patient, so we can go steady, bit by bit. Make a game of it, even.
The woman stood up and slunk around the desk, approaching Kelsey's seat. She placed her hands on Kelsey's shoulders and dug her thumbs in, massaging her tender back.
I give as much as I take, Bailey. That's what you've got to understand about me. It's not in my nature to be selfish.
The woman's thumbs pressed tenderly and rhythmically into Kelsey's shoulders. Her lips were close to Kelsey's ear, her voice soft and breathy, making the hairs on Kelsey's neck bristle.
Our little arrangement could be something really quite special, she whispered.
The woman's hand slipped over Kelsey's shoulders and down towards her breasts. At the same time, she leaned in, kissing Kelsey's neck. With a scream, Kelsey leaped from the seat, shoving the manager backwards and fleeing the office. She ignored the woman's calls for her to come back and to talk things through. The manager's pleas quickly turned to curses and threats. Kelsey raced from the building, away from the grand red bricks, and vanished into the chilly night. She traipsed the streets of the city center, constantly moving to keep herself warm and out of harm's way. Dawn was only 2 hours off. If she hung in there a little longer, she could find a bench to sleep on under the protection of daylight. She shivered, drawing her arms in closer. Could she really survive like this? Constantly walking to stay warm, trying to avoid trouble from the police or from other street dwellers? Being broke and homeless went hand in hand, and Kelsey knew that if she didn't find a way of getting money soon, the situation could become permanent. Growing up, she'd seen it happen multiple times. Of course, getting money meant finding a new job come first light. But the last manager's advances had left Kelsey shaken. The woman's vengeance would surely follow her to any interview in the city. People like that woman were always interconnected, after all, forming an impenetrable ring of managerial nepotism wrapped around the city's neck like a choker, keeping a tight leash on the workers below. Kelsey's childhood had hardened her, given her certain resilience to situations like this. But what had always gotten her through was the firm belief that as an adult she would do better, she would fix her life, and yet here she was, alone and more afraid than ever. She needed a way out. An exit strategy from the indelible stain of chaos on her reputation. She didn't care what the work was. Anything was better than living like this. As she passed an electrical store, a flickering light caught her eye through the security shutters. On the sepia display screens, the weather forecasting was issuing a dust warning and demonstrating how to wear a face mask correctly. The feed cut to a reporter at the quarry. Beside her was a site supervisor, clad in a hard hat and a dust mask. Behind them were rows of mining machines carving ever deeper rings into the earth's crust. Nearby were the workers' quarters, dozens of temporary cabins stacked high. Kelsey peeled her eyes away from the screen and looked to the hills beyond the city. Faint wisps of dust blew off the ridges of the quarry, rising like ice vapor in the cold moonlight. In her pocket, her thumb ran over the single coin she'd found on her night walk. It was just enough money for a one-way ride. Clutching the coin firmly, she set off for the bus station.